on the last episode of The Heads of Sierra Blanca.
We're going to Juarez to follow this thing up.
We needed to make sure that we avoided making waves against the cartels or any violent group there at all costs.
So it's very disorientating to be in a branch of Wendy's and realize that murdering you would be legal. Effectively legal.
So Alaa got a tip from a bus driver about a dump site marked with Mexican train dominoes.
The kids started digging. In their third hole, one of the kids was getting frustrated. He thought he kept hitting a rock. After digging around it, they slowly uncovered two decapitated bodies.
How do you know the kid wasn't lying?
Want me to take you there? You can see for yourself.
It is undoubtedly one of the most dangerous places on the entire planet.
Whoever did this was not your typical killer. There's something much more impersonal behind this than anything I'd ever seen in my career. Something colder.
37-year-old Lorena Salas found dead in her home. The killer believed to have drugged her, then set up an elaborate contraption around her home, which ended in her decapitation.
This is The Heads of Sierra Blanca.
According to studies, just over 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. The rest are spur of the moment. Crimes of opportunity. In other words, random. And what's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security. Maybe because most companies really don't make it easy. It's confusing, expensive, and such a hassle. That's why SimpliSafe is my top choice. SimpliSafe protects your whole home, every window, room, door, with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. Their police dispatch is up to 3.5 times faster because they use video verification. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. It's designed to blend right into your home. No wires, no drilling. It's easy to order and easy to set up, usually in under an hour. SimpliSafe has won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. Prices are always fair and honest. Around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. SimpliSafe could easily save your life. Visit simplisafe.com/Blanca. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose, so go now and be sure you go to simplisafe.com/BLANCA so they know our show sent you. That's simplisafe.com/Blanca. A month ago, the Rubdeck murders were cold cases to some and a closed book to others. A curio in the dark files of criminal history. A strange series of murders, probably better off forgotten. A month ago, almost nobody had heard of the Rubdeck killer or the people he killed.
But as we found out, an awful lot can change in a month.
I'm Magdalena Salas.
And I'm Monica Rodriguez.
And this is episode 5 of The Heads of Sierra Blanca. Our podcast following the newly reopened investigation of the Rubdeck murders, which began in 2007.
Last episode, we took our show on the road once more, traveling to the heart of Juarez. There, we were hoping to follow a lead about the StreamLeaks account used to share the original murder footage. We spoke to members of Juarez law enforcement and other interesting characters.
And we ended on a bombshell, a tip from our source, Willie.
We should reiterate, Willie is not his real name. With some of the smaller sources, especially given the fact that the killer is still at large, we've made an effort to anonymize them in order to keep them safe.
Well, Willie gave us a tip about the location of a potential dump site that could be connected to the Rubdeck killer. While the police weren't all that interested in following up this lead themselves, we'll leave you to speculate the reasons why. We, on the other hand, don't hold any such reservations.
That's why, later in the episode, we'll be following Willie to the dump site to see it for ourselves.
I ask myself sometimes why I'm doing this, and I always give myself a different answer. Sometimes it's to bring the killer to justice, or as a tribute to my tía and all the other victims to tell their story. But then I think, Is that what I'm really doing? Can you remember my tia's name? Can you remember any of these victims' names? Carlos Aniceto, Ana Nunez, and my tia, Lorena Salas? People forget them. They're not as catchy as the Rube Deck Killer, Milwaukee Cannibal, or Toy Box Killer. They're just extras in someone else's movie. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't even be talking about this. Maybe it's too much of a bummer. But there's this thought, chewing away at me, that once it's all done, the Rube Deck Killer will be rotting in jail, and everyone else will just move on to the next one. Whatever murder spree is popular next. And I'll go home, just like all the others. And my tia? She won't be there. And there will be nothing, no investigation, no podcast, no revenge that will ever change that. And you know what? That scares me to death.
You okay, Lena?
Not really. Let's get started.
Today, we're talking about bodies. The only thing that is sometimes left of what these killers take. To most people, death seems like an ending. But to an investigator,
and to the victim's family,
it's just the beginning.
For the families, it opens the door to a world of pain and debt. The average funeral in the U.S. costs between $7,000 and $9,000, and it can run a lot higher depending on the circumstances. Considering that these costs are almost never expected, it can drive a lot of families into debt on top of all the emotional cost. My tia's funeral almost ruined us, and this was 10 years ago. These days, a lot of people raise the money on GoFundMe. Some people even save for their own funeral funds because dying isn't cheap for anyone.
And for police investigators, it's a whole other ballpark. The body of a victim can either be a wealth of incredibly valuable evidence or a frustrating dead end.
For the three known victims of the Rube Deck Killer, identification wasn't a concern. The victims were murdered in their own homes, and while all were decapitated, the heads were not removed from the crime scenes.
And that's just the three known victims. As you may remember, Sheriff Arvin Gardner said this in our first episode.
Whoever did this was not your typical killer. There's something much more impersonal behind this than anything I'd ever seen in my career. Something colder. It became clear when looking at the video that this was a disturbed individual with professional engineering skills, someone with a higher set of ideals, someone who knew exactly what they were doing and had probably killed before.
Of course, Sheriff Gardner subscribed to the cartel theory. But after we ruled out Garnicero's involvement, our theory was left as the front runner. That the Rube Deck was, or rather is, a pleasure-motivated serial killer. Someone in the vein of Dahmer, Bundy, or David Parker Ray.
Meaning that it's unlikely he stopped at just three. The recorded Rube Deck murders were highly organized with almost clinical precision, suggesting they weren't his first. They were just the ones he wanted us to see.
Oftentimes, killers start young. Edmund Kemper, the co-ed killer, murdered his grandparents in his teens. Gary Ridgway, aka the Green River Killer, attempted to murder a boy in his youth. Serial killers often slip into a specific, ritualistic modus operandi later in their career. In the case of the Rube Deck, the machines he got his name from. But they rarely start there. There's often a period of practice.
And that is when they're most likely to make mistakes. They're nervous, sloppy, and impulsive. In short, they're a lot more likely to do something stupid and get caught.
Seeing as we're working under the assumption that the Rube Deck Killer operated in Juarez at some point on the timeline, possibly, as we discussed last episode, during his formative years as a killer, there's a chance we'll find something here.
And our best bet was to follow Willie to do some digging.
Unfortunately, this was not something the three of us could do alone. We needed a crew.
And once again, Julio had come in handy.
Fair warning. A lot of people won't want to touch this thing.
Well, yeah, it's essentially grave robbing.
Yeah, but it's not just that. You're potentially looking at cartel grave robbing. People don't want to get involved in that stuff, unless they're brave or stupid.
How about we stop saying grave robbing? What we're doing is exhumation.
Right, right.
There's gotta be someone willing to take the job.
I'll put my feelers out and keep looking.
So after a few hours of silence, Julio got in contact with Raymond, a Juarez local, and the manager of a small construction team.
Raymond knew the area, and he gave us a reasonable price, not that we're at liberty to give specifics. But most importantly, back in the 80s, Raymond attended business school in El Paso, and as a result, he could speak fluent English.
We met Raymond and a skeleton crew of six laborers at the Juarez city limits at nightfall. We were still in the middle of summer, so the days were long. The team we'd assembled piled into Willie's bus, like the world's bleakest school field trip. Ready, Willie?
What you're about to see isn't the kind of thing you can be ready for.
Okay. The gravity of what we were heading to do wasn't lost on us. For that night, the best case scenario was dealing with the bodies of murdered innocents.
Worst case was getting buried ourselves.
The journey was largely silent, but on occasion, we tried to keep ourselves occupied. Here's a brief chat we had with Raymond.
What made you take the job, out of curiosity?
My wife's sister, she went missing about 5 years back. Went to work one day and just never came home. That was that. Too many missing, you know?
Yeah, I know.
After that, we spent the rest of the drive in silence. Willie just followed Highway 2 until we found the cactus shaped like a cross.
Here we are. The gate to hell.
Are you sure it's the same cactus? It's been a long time.
Cactuses can live for up to 200 years. It's the one. Trust me. Just travel straight for roughly 4 miles. You'll know when to stop when you see the dominoes embedded in the ground. This is where I leave you. I can go no further than this.
Don't you want to see it through?
Last time I was here, I left a piece of myself. I pray it's different for you.
Where are you going?
I'll be here waiting. I'll see you when you get back.
Okay then.
Adios. Good luck.
5 miles north. I'm glad I brought my walking boots.
After what felt like an eternity of walking, we reached the site. A wide, flat plain. A nothing zone. The kind of place you'd never find unless someone told you about it.
Estamos aquí. Ahora acabamos.
Dominoes.
This is the place. The organization was careful and well thought out. Raymond and his workers separated the land into quadrants with tape and metal tent pegs and started digging in each one. It was methodical, measured, and precise.
The night grew dark and cold. We set up a few battery-powered portable lamps, but not nearly enough. The whole desert was buried in a blanket of shadows.
Ven acá!
We were getting somewhere.
Looks like we've got something.
Jesus Christ. Is that...
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
There they were. Dead dogs. All of them were at different stages of decomposition, piled on top of each other. Their corpses were steaming with maggots.
I don't know how long they'd been down there, but you could still smell them. I don't know when or if I'll ever forget that stench.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Lena, it's okay. Not every lead will come to something. It's all part of investigations.
We stuck our necks out, Monica. We came all the way out here to get dicked around with snakes, dead dogs, and complete bullshit. Why are they still digging?
You'll see.
Madre de Dios. Well, here we are.
A shoulder. with gray, mottled skin sticking out of the ground. The first taste of the nightmare that was to come.
How did you know?
All trick of the homicide trade. Normally, cops use dogs to find bodies. So to throw them off, killers sometimes bury the bodies deep, half fill the hole, then stick a dead dog or two on top.
They see the dogs, they stop digging, assume that was what the dogs were smelling, and everyone leaves.
Exactly. Works like a charm, huh? Most of the time.
The problem we were left with was how to identify them. How many loved ones could you recognize by remains or clothing alone? And with dental records taken out of the picture, unless the victim's DNA was already on file, it becomes a nightmare to match a body to the person who once occupied it.
Fingerprinting, the surest way to match a body, also becomes an issue. Bodies buried in the Juarez heat would dry out and wither, essentially destroying the fingerprints. This would mean more questions than answers. A hole full of John and Jane Doe's, with no hope of identification.
It probably would have stayed that way until Dr. Alejandro Hernandez Cárdenas came along and changed everything.
The doctor innovated a special rehydrating compound to treat entire bodies, leading to identifiable fingerprints, birthmarks, and tattoos.
When asked his motivation behind developing the formula, he commented, "I think I'm doing this work because I was affected by the idea of these bodies going to mass graves or their families not being able to mourn properly." We spoke again to Manuel Esparza, who also worked closely with Dr. Cárdenas on these rehydration techniques.
Well, when you have a body that's gone through the decomposition, it bloats and eventually the skin turns black. You know, it's impossible to identify someone from those remains. When he goes through the process with his formula, you actually gain skin color back. It reverses it. His work, when you see it, it's almost science fiction.
For once, it seems like everything was aligning perfectly.
Not that anything could have prepared us for what we were about to see that night.
When Willie told us about the dump site, we didn't know what to expect, but this is what we got.
Two bodies, badly decomposed. So dried out, they looked like mummies. Both were decapitated.
What do you think, Monica?
If what Willie said was true, then yeah, it looks like the Rubdeck.
It was at that point that we felt the need to finally call it in, at the risk of causing an international incident.
The Ciudad Juarez police relieved us for the evening. It was 4:50 a.m., more or less. We were exhausted and just wanted to head back to our hotel to wash off the night.
But no. As we probably should have expected, we got dragged back to the station for a cursory questioning session.
Before anyone thinks of sending us an email about it, no, we don't have audio of that.
After jumping through all the necessary bureaucratic hoops and handing off our evidence to Chief Sawala, we were finally free to go.
As for the nature of the bodies and whether they are related to the Rubdeck killings, well, they were sent off to the local forensics laboratories for testing. Considering the backlog the Juarez legal system is experiencing, the chief warned us it might be a while.
So we're just gonna have to be patient. Sometimes, life just feels like a whole lot of waiting for something worthwhile to happen.
With this new evidence on our hands, there was someone we needed to revisit.
But before we do that, a quick word from our sponsor. Oftentimes, getting professional help is ridiculously expensive, hard to schedule, especially if you have a full-time job or school and isn't often covered by health insurance. I can't stress enough how amazing BetterHelp has been for me. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counseling network, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide, and you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your own counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so it is easy, convenient, and there wherever you need it. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and there is even financial aid. So there is no reason to not reach out. So right now, go to betterhelp.com/Blanca and get 10% off your first month. BetterHelp is spelled BETTERHELP, as in help me help you. BetterHelp.com/Blanca. Join the other 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. So that's BetterHelp.com/BLANCA for 10% off your first month. Summer's been great, but now it's time to get back into school mode, and sometimes I don't eat very healthy. After all the summer barbecues and eating out with family, I'm ready to get back into a habit of eating what's good for me. But finding time to look for recipes, get to the grocery store and meal preps during studying and class and cram sessions, it's very overwhelming. But that's what's great about Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest makes it easier than ever to get back into the habit of eating more fruits and vegetables with thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted food that can be prepared in less than 5 minutes. I'm pretty skeptical about smoothies and what's in them and whatnot, but I have to say it really eased my mind to just throw it in the blender, put some coconut water, a little bit of coconut milk, and feel very full in about 15 minutes. Fill your box with more than 65 different options like ready-to-blend smoothies, hearty soups, and savory harvest bowls. The harvest bowls are my favorite. Everything stays fresh in your freezer until you are ready to eat it. Each Daily Harvest cup takes one step to prepare with room for customization. You don't even have to think. Add your favorite milk to a smoothie and blend, or heat a harvest bowl and top it off with avocado or a fried egg. All of Daily Harvest's ingredients are sourced and selected for maximum nourishment and peak season flavor. Daily Harvest is the quickest and most convenient way to eat a delicious and nutritious meal or snack whenever you're at your desk, studying really hard, or just too tired to cook. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code Blanca to get $25 off your first box. It's worth it, guys. That's promo code BLANCA for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. That's dailyharvest.com, promo code Blanca.
So we're back. Myself, Lena, and Julio met with Willie in a Juarez bar the next day.
Anybody want a drink?
We want answers, Willie.
Yeah, we feel like you know more than you're saying here.
Look, I can't remember shit from back then.
Well, there's got to be something. Something detail, something he said.
It's not like he showed me his driver's license. It was all cash. Drive me here, drive me there, take the money and shut up.
You said he spoke Spanish. Was he a native speaker? Did he sound fluent?
It was business. Asshole didn't talk much. Just orders.
And you followed them?
I needed the money. I didn't ask questions.
Anything else you want to say?
Look, I'm sorry. I'm holed up at the motel. If I remember anything, I'll call you.
Once again, we were on standby until the Juarez Police Department gets us some forensic results.
Or until Willie decides to open up. Either way, things were looking bleak.
The sight of those corpses at the bottom of that hole would probably haunt my nightmares for years to come.
That brings us on to another kind of nightmare, the femicide epidemic in Juarez.
I'd love for you to come by the conference. I mean, it's meant to be a statement. It's grabbing people by the ears and getting them to take notice.
You may recognize that voice as Dr. Christian Lopez, the forensic psychologist from El Paso whom we featured in episode 2. He's been attending the Trail Conference on Femicide at the Universidad Autónoma de Ciudad Juarez.
In fact, he's one of the keynote speakers. Okay, here we are.
On location at the Trail Conference on Femicide. It goes on for a 3-day weekend with a variety of interdisciplinary talks from different experts.
Sociology, psychology, civil rights, and law enforcement.
It's a real brain trust of femicide experts.
But there's one in particular that we're after.
It's a hard fact for a lot of people to swallow, But misogynistic violence is baked into the patriarchal system we live in. Attacks on poor women, sex workers, trans women, and addicts are particularly virulent. Worse still is that these people are the least protected. In short, in a society built by and for men, it is open season on vulnerable women. Until we overhaul the system with serious social and legislative reform, all women are targets.
The talk went on for 45 minutes. It's worth looking up if you got the time.
We can't let this femicide continue. This nightmare has to end.
While the social systems in place in Juarez have failed disadvantaged women in particular, the problem is sadly even wider. Many Mexican citizens, and especially the citizens of Ciudad Juarez, feel the police are either unable or unwilling to help them.
Here's a part of an interview we held with veteran police officer and educator, Jesus Soto.
Jesus, just for the record, how old are you?
36 años.
36 years old.
Why did you choose to join the Citizens Police Force?
Well, when I graduated from university, I had a major in education and took the opportunity to be a rural teacher. There were civil conflicts because of the locals being fed up with all the kidnapping involving corrupt policemen and the military. There was even an armed uprising in a town called Ascension, Chihuahua. I was a teacher in a place called The Junction. While teaching there, two students were kidnapped, and we had to arm ourselves. I mean, we literally had to grab guns and go out front and confront these kidnappers because the police, the government, and the officials refused to do anything. Then the military picked me up, and I was detained for 48 hours until I would denounce police involvement. They tortured me, they released me beaten and hurt. We ran to the police of the population. They're known in Mexico as self-defense groups. They had to take the place that was empty. They had to take the place of the cops that weren't doing their jobs.
The policing in many places is so lax that people are forced to take matters into their own hands. And when facing off against forces as vicious, powerful, and well-equipped as the cartels, it's always going to be a one-sided battle.
Without serious social and legislative reform, like Dr. Lopez is talking about, there isn't much hope for change.
We got just a few hours of peace and quiet until this message came in.
Yeah! This is bad! This is bad! Get the rockets over here! Get the rockets!
We'd spent the afternoon sitting in a lot of quiet lecture halls, so our phones had been turned off. Still, Willie hadn't sent us the message that long ago.
We turned on our microphones to make sure everything was on record and headed toward Millie as quickly as we could.
Come on. Come on, come on.
I'm trying. Have you tried calling him back?
I'm trying, but he's not answering. Shit! Shit, shit, shit!
Shit! Cops everywhere.
Willie? Oh, fuck! The door! Wait! Please!
Lena, look!
No. No, no, no!
God!
No.
Fucking God! On the next episode, we'll pick up right here and dive in to see what happened.
Follow us on social media for updates at Heads of Sierra Blanca on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our website is headsofsierrablanca.com. If you have any tips, please leave a message on our voicemail. The number, 915 915-213-4292. Again, that's 915-213-4292. We'll see you on the next episode of The Heads of Sierra Blanca.